Yes. Hello. Good morning. Glad you guys are here with us today. That's an exciting announcement. That's one we've been working on for a couple months now, just getting that all into the mix and into the works. And we're really, really excited about being able to connect with the young adults, with that demographic. We do have quite a few that come here from various colleges in the area. And so it's going to be an awesome ministry. So make sure that you check that out, whether you're here in person or watching online. I want to welcome our people watching online. Let's give it up for our online people. I was just on there right before I came up and just letting them know that I appreciate them and appreciate their consistency and that they, man, even though they're at home. And that's the hard thing about doing online is that when you're at home, there's so many different things. Like, you could be looking around and be like, I need to do that. And it's really hard. But, man, I'm so thankful that you guys have carved this time out, have made this a priority, man, to join us online today. Well, we are in week four of our series, This Is the Way. We've been studying through 1 John, looking at 1 John and really unpacking this letter that John wrote to the early church and ultimately to us. And there's so many things in here that still factor into our lives today, into our culture today, and the things that we struggle with today. And man, there's so many amazing themes, and we've already talked about three, and we're just going to keep that going. Last week, we talked a lot about sin and the confession of sin and recognizing sin. I gave you kind of the main point of last week was to recognize sin in your life. Understand that there is sin in your life, recognize it, repent of it, and practice righteousness. And this is the way we are called to live. This is the way that John calls us to live. And so I kind of want to keep that going because John does this a lot in this letter that he writes to the early church. This theme of sin is in there, recognizing it, recognizing not just other people's sins. I think we're really, really good at that, right? Be like, look at how bad they're sinning over there. But man, it's really recognizing our own sin and man, how culture is really weighing heavily on us and trying to entice us and ensnare us into sin. And so I we talked about gaining clarity on that, gaining clarity on what is sin and not you know, having that blurry line between what it is. And again, this is a reoccurring theme. I was looking at it the other day, and I think this is the word sin itself is mentioned about 30, I think it's 30 times, maybe 28 times in this letter, and it's the second most mentioned word or theme that I saw. It's right there below love. John mentions love, almost double that. And so we're going to be talking about that one in a few weeks as well. But this theme of sin and recognizing sin and understanding what it means for us as Christ followers is so important. I think, and I kind of want to preface my message today with this, and even last week's, like I think a lot of times we like to kind of put sin over here and come over here and be encouraged and be inspired, and we don't really want to talk about the sin that's going on in our life. Man, just give us, man, some encouragement and some hope. But honestly, encouragement and hope comes when we step out of sin and step into the light. And so I want to preface that for you today, because that's what we're going to be talking about. And I'm probably going to keep this going even next week, because I was going to talk about John talks about Antichrist, and he has this, in chapter 2, he kind of goes down the list, and he talks about sin, he talks about the way of the world, and he talks about Antichrist, and they all kind of come in together, and these false teachers, you know, coming out there and talking against really the way and what Jesus is talking about. So we're going to talk about that next week. But I wanted to throw that out there to let you know that, man, we really need to unpack this and understand this if we want to remain in him, if we want to continue living in the light and not living in darkness. Now we're going to be looking at 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. That's our main focus today. Before I dive into God's holy word, I want to pray for us that we would receive this. So would you pray with me? God, we are thankful, man, for your spirit and your presence here with us today, for allowing us to enter in. God, I know each of us has had different weeks and gone through different things, and maybe we're coming in here with, man, just a lot on our mind. A lot that we need to figure out, or maybe we're coming in here open and available. Whatever it may be right now in this moment, no matter what's going on, man, let us focus in, laser focus on your word and on your spirit and what you're trying to speak to us today. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. So 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, we're going to start right there. And here's how it starts. It says, "Do not love the world or the things that belong to the world." I'm going to stop right there. Do not love the world or the things that belong to the world. Because as you read the world, a lot of things come into play, right? Like, what does he mean by the world? What is he talking about? Like, God made this world, and he put us in this world, and there are beautiful things in this world. And so, what's John talking about? So let's dive into this word, world, that John is talking about. And so, what he's not talking about, the beauty and the goodness of God's creation. He's not talking about all that God has created for us to enjoy that is here on this earth. But more, he's talking about the evil desires of our flesh, of our sinful nature. And it comes from the temptation from the prince of this world. And if you don't know that's a title that is given to Satan, to the enemy. Like, this is his domain. And so the world itself, when he says the world, when it's mentioned, he's talking about Satan's system of sin. It's a system of sin that that opposes Jesus' work, that Satan has, that comes against the work of Christ and against what God is trying to do, against all that is good, all that is holy, and all that is spiritual. Talks about the world. Now, he mentions it again. You go over to 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. It says this: "We know that we are of God, and the whole world is under the sway of the evil one." So that's what he's talking about. There's this world system that's taking place. It's a system of beliefs, a system that runs counter to what God desires for us. Now, you can think about it in the relation to maybe some other things. There's the world of sports, right? The world of finance. There's the world of politics. There's the world of coffee. And when I say world of these things, and I give them that, you begin to think about different things and different beliefs and different characteristics that kind of define what that world is about. And so in John chapter 2, verse 15, he's saying, do not love the world. Do not love Satan's system of sin. It's this world of sin. And so I wanted to define that for you. So that's what he says. Do not love the world or the things that belong to the world. And he goes on. He says, if anyone loves the world, right, Satan's system of sin that he set up, if you love the world, love for the Father is not in him. Now, this is kind of a nod back to what I talked about last week, where we can't live in the light and live in darkness. We can't love the world and love the Father. We can't live by the Word but also try to live by the world. We can't live by God's holy standards and then try to live by Satan's sinful standards. So John goes on and he begins to kind of broadly outline like what it means to belong to this world, to get caught up in Satan's sin system. In verse 16, he says, for everything that belongs to the world, here you go, ready? It's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of one's lifestyles is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world, with its lust, is passing away. And so we're saying is that all that entices us, all that ensnares us with the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride in oneself, all of that is passing away. And if that is what you put your hope in, if that's what you love, if that is what you belong to, when it passes away, you pass away with it, right? That's what John is saying. But if we were basically saying, if you remain in sin, you belong to the world, and when it passes, you pass with it. So it's the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. It's all passing away. In verse 17, he wraps it up and it says, and the world with its lust is passing away, but the one who does God's will remains forever. So this is what we're talking about, remaining in him, belonging to him, understanding what it means to live in the world, right? And be of the world. There's a gentleman by the name of Dr. Thomas Constable, and he wrote this about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of one's life. He says this: the lust of the flesh is the desire to do something apart from the will of God. The lust of the eyes is the desire to have something apart from the will of God. And the pride of life is the desire to be something apart from the will of God. So he goes on and he says, the first desire appears to the body, the second to the soul, and the third to the spirit. When you think about lust of the the flesh. This is us idolizing pleasure, anything that may bring us pleasure. We're idolizing that thing, making that thing a god in our lives. Lust of the eyes is idolizing possessions, being materialistic, stuff like that. Then the pride of life comes into idolizing power, position of power, a title of power. And so this whole lust of the eyes, the flesh, and the pride of life, I want to focus in on that. Because John kind of gives it to us, and it's so rich and full of things that allow us to understand what he's saying, but you got to be able to look at the whole Bible, because what John is doing here is he's kind of hearkening back to two different stories in the Bible, maybe more, but two that really stand out to me, and it's found in the garden with Eve, and then also with Jesus in the wilderness, and these two things, or these three things rather, the lust of the flesh, the eyes, and the pride of life, man, they kind of sum up how Satan tries to tempt us and ensnare us in his world system. It's this tactic that he uses again and again and again on each and every one of us, with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of one's life. So he's going back all the way to the garden, Genesis 3, and Eve's there, and Adam's there, and the snake shows up. And he tempts Eve with eating of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And in verse 6, here's what it says. It says, "Then the woman saw that the tree was good for food." And there you have the lust of the flesh. "It was also delightful to look at," lust of the eyes. "And it was desirable for obtaining wisdom," the pride of life, right? To be like God. And that's even what's, you know, you your eyes will be open and you will be like God, to think ourselves better or more righteous. And so the enemy's there, and he throws out these temptations, that he throws out his world system of sin, and Adam and Eve get caught up in the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of their life, and guess what happens? They get removed from the garden. They get removed from paradise. Because we know, like, this sin system, right, it's what separates us from the love of the Father. And John, he's going back, he's like, remember, these things, when you fall into these things, this is what it's going to look like when you love the world. And when you love the world and you belong to the world, what's going to happen is you're no longer going to be in the presence of God and living with God and what he set up for you. So he goes back to that, and he mentions that because it's so important, because that was our fall. It was Adam and Eve's fall, but ultimately it was our fall. It is our fall, the fall of sin and temptation in our life. But the good news is that it didn't end there. So he goes back to the one, right, with Adam and Eve, and there's the fall there. And then we're gonna go and look at how Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, and there was something a little bit different. But see, it wasn't the end, because from this moment, God worked his plan out. From the moment that they sinned and they were cast out, God was working his plan. His plan was Jesus. He's working this plan out, who Jesus was, to reconcile us back to him, to bring us out of the world and to belong back to him. But we go back to Eve. We go back to how she was tempted. She's tempted with the fruit. And it's very symbolic, right? Because really, the enemy will tempt you with some type of fruit. Whatever, you know, may appeal to you more. Maybe it would appeal to your flesh or to your eyes or to your pride. He's going to come at you with that one thing that maybe you are weak in. Or maybe he'll come at you with all three and really, really put the pressure on. And he gets us thinking, right? He gets us kind of away from what God's word said and what God promises. And he gets us thinking about other things and what we could have and what we could desire. And he gets us thinking, if I could do or have this one thing that I so desperately desire, that I so much want, man, I can feel better about myself. I can feel good about what's going on. If I could do or have this one thing. And then he steps it up and he gets us thinking, if I could just be something even greater than I am, if I could be above what I am, above other people, I could be at my best. And see, that's Satan's lie. And he says to us, if you and I could obtain this lust of the eyes, this flesh, or our pride, when we obtain that things, what is lie? He says to us, guess what? When you obtain those things, you will be glorified. You will be raised up. You will have all that you want. It's this selfish desire. You will be like God. When you obtain these things, you will be like God, and man, you can be glorified and people will praise you and everything you do will be great. But God, here's what God says. He says this, when you obtain Jesus, it's by him and it's through him that you are your best self. Jesus, he's the one that makes you the best. And guess what? It's not for you to glorify yourself. No. It's to bring glory to God. So it's in Jesus, this plan of reconciliation, that you and I are made our best self so that you and I can then bring glory to God, not glory to ourselves. But Satan's system, Satan's world is the exact opposite. Get all of these things. Get all that you desire. Get all that you want. Be all that you want to be so that you can be raised up, so that you can be glorified, so that you can be praised. And when we get into that, when we fall into the trap of glorifying ourselves, we stop bringing glory to God. And it's just this kind of process that takes place. And, you know, the enemy is tricky because he'll tempt you with one little thing and he'll lie to you and say, you know, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. And then you find yourself later that you are wrapped up in it. It's no longer something that you control. It controls you. And it's not that you're in your best self and this desire that you thought you once had or the thing that you thought you needed to do. It's not all that it was cracked up to be. It didn't bring into your life what you thought it would bring. It didn't bring the joy. It didn't bring the peace. It didn't bring the calm. But instead it brought with us it chaos. We think to ourselves, man, if I could just have money, I could get these material things. And if I could get these material things, well, then I could be respected. And if I'm respected, then people will praise me. We're so good at wanting to build ourselves up and have people focus on us and how good we are and the things that we're doing or the things that we have or how we operate. But it's counter to what God calls us to or what Jesus calls us to. Because Jesus says that you and I are called to die to self, right? To lay down our selfish desires. Because it's in those selfish desires that we find ourselves belonging to the world. That's the system of sin, the system of the world. And so Jesus says, die to yourself. And when you die to yourself, when you put your selfish desires, when we put our selfish desires aside, and we show that it's in Jesus that we reside, that's when we can bring God glory. And that's where we need to live. It's not about our desires or doing or having, man, this thing that we know we're not supposed to, that we think is going to be best for us, but really isn't. It's not about being something more than God wants us to be, but being exactly who he called us to be through Jesus. And it's in that that we glorify God. So John, he takes us back to the garden. He reminds his readers, reminds the early church, reminds you and I of the garden, of the fall, of how sneaky his tactic is to ensnare us, how he twists God's truth and how he bends God's truth so that we view it as something that will be good for us. And all the while, God knows that it's not what he had planned for us. So we'll go back to the garden. I talked about the first week, we talked about, you know, John is always talking about the beginning. Remember the beginning of the world, the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And he takes us back to the beginning, but then he also takes us back to the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Before his ministry started, Jesus, we find him in the wilderness, fasting for 40 days, 40 nights. And in the wilderness, he has the same temptation. The enemy tries this tactic, the same tactic on Jesus, but he fails miserably. And so we go back to the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and we no longer have our fall, we have our salvation. So I love it that he couples these two things. So we look at Jesus, we see the same tactics. So you look at Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. I'm not going to read all of that to you, but if you know the story, Jesus is in the garden, and the enemy comes and he tempts him with three things. The same three things that John talks about. Satan, first, he urges Jesus to turn the bread or turn the stones into bread. You have lust of the flesh. He goes and he shows him all the kingdoms of the earth and he offers to give them to him, right? The lust of the eyes. Then he takes him to the top of the temple and encourages him to jump off, saying to him that legions of angels who will come and protect you and save you. There will be this miracle. And in that, man, you can be raised up and people will glorify you. And there's this pride that of life that he comes at. But if you know the story, you know that Jesus stood up to every single one of these things. He remained in God, belonging to God, not boasting in himself or even the position of himself being a God. He says, not my will, but I'm going to follow God's will. And what you were trying to get me to do is not it. No matter how good it looks or enticing it may be or the power or the prestige or the status it may give, I'm not following that world system. I'm following my Father's will, and I'm going to live that out, and it's going to be the greatest thing the world has ever seen. So Jesus, this is what's so great. Jesus had all the temptations, the worldly temptations that you and I face, that Adam and Eve faced. Jesus had all the temptations of the world, but he remained in the Word. He remained in God. He remained belonging to him, and it was through his perfect obedience to be in the world, but not of the world, that he became the propitiation for our sin. He became this perfect sacrifice to reconcile us back to God because of our sin, because of the fall. And so now, because of Jesus, this is so crucial to, you know, us being born again. Us having a new life in Christ because of Jesus. Not only are you and I born of flesh and those fleshly desires, which is belonging to the world, we are also born of the Spirit. And when we're born of the Spirit, we have this belonging to God. And what's so great is if you understand this, is that Jesus came and he embodied our flesh. But he was born of the flesh, but he was also born of the Spirit, and he belonged to God. And so with Jesus' example, overcoming the same temptation that was given to Adam and Eve, that you and I face every single day, because of Jesus' example of overcoming those things, you and I can look at his life and strive to be more like him so that we can belong more to God than we do to the world. Jesus overcame the world. And right, he says, I have overcome the world, so take heart, right? Jesus overcame the world. He defeated both sin and death. And it's only through him that you and I can learn to live in the world, but not belong to the world and remain belonging to the Father. So it's because it's of what he did, of what he showcased, of his victory over that the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, you and I can look at that and we can have hope. Yes, we may have fallen into the temptations of these things. Yes, there may have been mistakes in our life, but Jesus came and he offered us forgiveness for those things. And he called us out of those things. And he called us to turn away, to repent from living the world's way and in the world's sin system and run to him and live in him and be in him. And in that, you and I find victory. So here's what Jesus says to us. Here's what John even says to us, that we are in this world, but we are not of it. And this is the way. This is the way that you and I are called. We're in the world. We're not of the world. We're in the world to be a light to the world, to shine Jesus so that other people can be drawn to him and begin to live in him as well. So now I'll come to you and ask you, and maybe you've already been thinking about it. If you think about these three things, how has the enemy come at you? Maybe it's lust of the flesh. Right, and we'll go back to what Dr. Constable said. He says, the lust of the flesh is a desire to do something apart from the will of God. We go back to Eve. Hey, don't eat from this tree. And Eve wants to do it. And so it's this like carnal nature. It's taking that which is good and perverting it to evil. One of my favorite pastors and authors is Warren Wiersbe, and he says this: hunger is not evil, but gluttony is sinful. Thirst is not evil, but drunkenness is sin. Sleep is a gift of God, but laziness is shameful. Sex is God's gift when used rightly, but when used wrongly, it becomes immorality. With the lust of the flesh, it's this desire to do something you know you ought not do. or maybe a desire to do something more than you ought to. Honestly, it's anything that we do that keeps us from living out God's will in our life, the lust of the flesh. It's giving into that carnal nature of ours instead of practicing self-control through the Spirit. Is the enemy coming at you with lust of the flesh? Maybe it's lust of the eyes. You think about Eve. You think about Jesus. Eve first, she saw that the fruit of the tree was delightful and desirable. You know, Jesus, you know, Satan laid out for Jesus the entire king, every kingdom of the earth, and said, all this can be yours. And he entices our eyes and he puts this thing in front of us. Lust of the eyes, the desire to have something apart from the will of God. It's this relentless, unhealthy pursuit of money, of material things, of success, of status, of title. And it's a desire to have it at the cost of your soul. I mean, think about it. When Satan tempted Jesus, he said, look, man, look at all this. All the kingdoms of the earth, they can all be yours. But all you got to do is bow down and worship me. And that's the same for you and I. It's the same temptation. Hey, look, you can have this. It'll be great, and you'll probably love it, but the cost is heavy. The cost is who you are in God. And I think for so many people, we are so eager to please the world and to engage in the world and to fit into the world's standards. But often it comes at the cost of belonging to God. 1 John 3:13, John reminds us that the world, its standards, the status, the prestige, all that this world has, John says the world should hate us, not praise us. But far too many of us are going out there desperate for the world to praise us. Let me just tell you this. If the world is praising us, there's a good chance that we stop praising God. Because we've taken ourselves out of belonging to Him and living to Him, and we went a different way, and we desired praise more than giving praise. He entices us. Maybe for you it's pride. The pride of one's life. I mean, really, it is what the enemy said to Eve in the garden. You could be like God. And somewhere in all of us, we have that, right? I want to be in control. I want to have full control. I want to do what I want. I want to have what I want. I want the control. I want the power. He did the same to Jesus. You have command of legions of angels. Just do this. It won't be a big deal. You know, the pride of one's life is the desire to be something apart from the will of God, to be like God. In that desire, what you're basically saying is that you no longer need God because you're in control. You're smart and you're strong and you're wise. You know better than God. And that's how he comes at you. I wonder today, which of the three is he really pressing into? Which of the three is a weakness for you? Maybe it's all three. Reality is these things, they're at the core. They're at the core of what Satan tries to do to get us to forget whose we are, right? That we do belong to the Father. That he did reconcile us back to him through Jesus. It's at the core. It's an effort to get us to belong to the world and not belong to God anymore. When we give in to those things, the lust of the flesh and the eyes and the pride, that we do those things continually and habitually, right? We talk about living in the dark versus living in the light. We begin to lose this love and this passion and this fervor that we once had for God and for the Father and living in him, because sin, love of this world, it separates us from him. Maybe things are still blurry and you're just not sure, and the enemy's laying the lies on really thick and has you believing one thing that's not the truth. Maybe here are some signs that you might want to look for, that maybe, just maybe, you're not living for God, not loving God, but you actually love the world more. So a sign might be that your time with him in his word has become boring. The story of salvation, of eternal life for you and I, of Jesus, just doesn't excite you. I mean, how could that be? Because the God of the universe came down and he gave us this amazing book. In it are his commands. In it is salvation. It's truth. It's promises. There's hope. But you feel a disconnect from it. And it's boring. If that's the case for you, it could be a sign of a sin in your life that has gone on too long and has begun to take control. Or maybe it's that your time in prayer, it's just become a difficult chore. You'll pray, but it's out of obligation. It's just something that I'm supposed to do. You don't enjoy spending time with God. You don't enjoy having a conversation with God. You don't even prioritize your time with God. If that's the case, it could be a sign that there's a sin that is separating you from having that connection with him. Or maybe it's just this, the time with others, other believers, in community, in worship, in serving, in generosity, in accountability, in discipleship, all of that, it all just seems unnecessary to you. You think to yourself, I don't need that. I don't need to be in community. I don't need other people around me. I'm good. I got this. I can do it in my strength, my power, my wisdom. And these could be three signs that the enemy has tempted you, he's ensnared you, has got you believing a lie, has got you living out his world system, the system of sin, instead of living out God's good word in your life. The Gospel of John, chapter 2, verse 15, it says this: do not love the world or the things that belong to the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Do not love the world or the things that belong to the world. And that's actually 1 John, sorry. The love of the Father is not in him. John's very clear. You know, he lays it out there for us, and he wants to make sure that we know the story of the gospel, that we know the story of salvation. And so he brings us back to these things to help us understand that the enemy is sneaky, and he will try to come at us with these things, and we got to recognize those things. We can't be in the world, right, or of the world. We're in it, but we can't be of it. So it comes to this last question: are you more of the world or are you more of the word? And like I said last week, it can't be both. I'm going to ask you guys to bow your head, close your eyes, and maybe the Spirit right now has been convicting you. And you know, as I talked about the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, you realize, man, that you got caught up in the enemy's snare, and it was one of these things. Don't ignore what the Spirit's telling you right now. Don't ignore the conviction of your heart right now. Don't ignore that little twinge that says, man, you know what? What I'm doing is not right. It's not holy. It's of this world. We talked last week about recognizing and confessing our sin. And so just like you, and I need you to understand this, that like, you know, even though I have salvation and I love Jesus, that doesn't mean I don't sin. And the enemy is still coming at me with these things, and he takes that one that we're weakest with. And for me, y'all, it's that pride of life. The pride of my own life. Thinking, you know what? Man, look at where I'm at. Look at the title that I have. Man, I don't need anyone else. I can do this in my own power, in my own wisdom. Look at what I've done, look at what I've accomplished. And he takes that, the enemy takes that, and he says, yeah, you're doing great. You're doing awesome. Boast in yourself. Go out there and let everyone recognize who you are. But that's not what God wants. See, he takes what God has created for good, and he tries to make it evil. And he's done that. And I combat that. And I use God's word and I use God's people. But there are times when the fruit, it does look good. To be able to have the world praise me, it does feel good. To have others look on me with admiration. To think, oh man, just if I could just be like Brent. I don't want anyone to be like Brent. I want people to be like Jesus. And that's the truth that I gotta keep telling myself, because the only reason I'm standing here is because of Jesus. It's because of what he did on the cross. It's because of the salvation that he gave me. Without him, I am nothing. Even my best is filthy rags. And so many times does the enemy come at me with this. And every single time when he does, I got to go back to the word. I got to remain in the word, remain belonging in the Father. I got to know the word. I got to study the word so that I can combat the world, the sins system that Satan gives, and say, no, I'm not falling into this snare. And for you today, that's what you need in your life. You say, you know what? This lust of the eyes, this lust of the flesh, this pride of one's life, I understand now that I've got caught up in that, and I don't want to live in that. I don't want to be of the world. I want to belong to my Father. I want to love my Father and not love this world. Today, I am praying that you would be free from whatever sin has ensnared you, whatever sin has pulled you away from living in the presence of God, and come back to him. Man, recognize it. Repent of it. Confess it. Confess it to your Father right now. But man, can I tell you, there is freedom in speaking out your confession to others. Don't let the pride get in the way of just saying, hey, I struggle with this and I need your help getting over it. We got to know this stuff. We got to see this stuff. We can't just let the enemy put a covering or a shroud over us, thinking and believing in the lies that he has told us, the lies and deception that the world has given us. God's word, God's love, God's plan, God's will is so much greater than anything this world could ever offer. The lust of this world is passing away, but those who love God the Father will remain forever. God, right now, I lift up everyone here with us, all those watching online. Sometimes it's hard to pull away from the sin that we've been living in, for the sin that we have rationalized or justified or, man, believe the lies of the enemy. God, but I am praying today for freedom from belonging to the world so that we can now belong and be in the Father. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.